And this was a bit of an aha moment, which is why I'm recording it, because I'm not sure if I'll remember what I've said if I don't. And then I can think about it some more. Years ago, when I was just finishing training at college, so 1972, I think, a book came out by Karl Rahner called The Shape of the Church to Come, which is partly where all of this language came from. And I can't remember a word of what he said, but I remember being excited by the book, because it said the church doesn't need to go on being the way it is now. And when I was preparing for this, I turned, I'm not quite sure how, to Philippians chapter 2, which you know very well. And I'll just read a few verses and then connect it. If you want to know the headings of what I'm saying over the next 15 minutes, they're on the little A5 green sheet in your pack. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And I often go away from that passage thinking, Paul is encouraging me in Philippians to be humble as Jesus was humble. What I want to say to you today is that I think that Paul is encouraging the church to be humble as Jesus is humble. So the thesis of this very short little input is that the self-emptying of Christ is to be matched in Paul's theology by the self-emptying of the church. The idea of a self-emptying theology of the doctrine of Christ was first put forward in around the 1820s, I think, by a German theologian whose name I won't bore you with. I was imposed on in this way when I was at university. But the idea of a kenotic Christology says this: God can remain God and give up many, many things. What are they? But there are certain things that God cannot give up without ceasing to be God. And that's a very interesting question. Because what this particular person said, and I've never forgotten it over the last nearly 40 years, is that the three things that we think are most important about God, if we just do it out of the top of our heads, are his omnipotence, his omniscience, and his omnipresence. But quite clearly, the Word of God gave up all those things. However you read Jesus, he wasn't in the big God picture sense omnipotent. Sure, he could do miracles, but that's to miss the point. He wasn't omniscient in the big picture God sense, and he wasn't clearly omnipresent. All those things can be let go of: power, knowledge, presence. That which cannot be dropped by God is love. You can't have God without the character of love and those things which flow out of it, which are service and a heart that reaches out to the world. If what I've said is true, and I believe that it is, then I think that Paul is calling the church to come to empty itself of that which it does not need in order to be church. And maybe some of those things are to do with power and knowledge and presence. But to hold on to the love, the service, and the mission. The church doesn't need to be strong in the center of things, well-resourced, in control, authoritative. Nor does it need to be clever. And perhaps it doesn't need to try to be everywhere all the time. I'm really pleased that we're not all Anglicans, but for those of you who are Anglicans for the moment, maybe we're reaching the point where we need to say the parish system is completely distracting us. Now, I've been a parish priest for much of my life. However, maybe the church even needs to let go of that. Dare I say it? Because something new is coming. This isn't to get at Andrew Davison. You can tell him later when you speak to him. And I think that the church, using the words free and rooted, which we put on to the title of this day, needs to break away from all of the boundaries of various kinds. Isn't it strange that nearly 300 years after the Wesleys, or John Wesley said, the world is my parish, we're being told that it's not, and we're still having to control the church, again, Church of England, with bishops' mission orders in cases where a priest says, this is my parish. I remember also going to a little village in Oxfordshire to take with my students an all-age service at which there were no children present. Not my idea. The church, it was in a village called Merton. And Merton Church is as big as Merton College Chapel. And Merton College Chapel has the patronage. 12 of us, 6 students and 6 congregations, sat in the church tower, glassed in. I think they'd spent £50,000 glassing it in. So 12 of us could sit round a gas heater, half asphyxiated, singing songs which were uncomfortable to us all. And I said to my wife afterwards when I got home, why couldn't we have just met in the vicarage living room? Something could have happened then. That church represents a social and cultural certainty of the 15th century. I love the heritage of the church in this country, but it's throttling us. And I'm overstating simply because I want us to have some arguments today. I think also that we need to be freed from, have I got 4 minutes left, Dave? Jaded doctrinal orthodoxies. Charles Simeon, whose name we use for the Centre for Prayer that dwells here, said in the introduction to his 23-volume collection of sermon outlines for his students, 23-volume, I am persuaded that neither Calvinists nor Arminians have exclusive possession of the truth. I think there are some things today that we need to say to each other about those doctrinal orthodoxies which are strangling us. You can shout heretic if you want. I'm not going to name them. But somehow it feels a little bit like fiddling while Rome burns. Did Jade Goody ask herself about the theological formulations of the priest whom she asked to baptize her children? I don't know. I won't say anything about controlling influences. All of these are controlling influences. I want, and someone who loves the church that I grew up in, which wasn't the Church of England, but was the church in the province of the West Indies, I want this church that I love to be freed to listen, to welcome, and to form community, and not to know for as long as it takes what the outcomes of that will be, because I've almost lost the capacity to listen. This isn't me. Everybody who's saying anything about the shape of the church to come is talking about listening about hospitality, about people's hunger to belong together, out of which, if we are icons of Christ, church will grow. But I'll say more about that this afternoon. But I also want this church to be deeply, deeply rooted in 2,000 years of truth, what I've called Gospel Plus. The knowledge that it is true that God has made himself known to us by coming and being with us. And this Jesus is the same. And I am confident of that in a way that the early church was confident of that. But it's the gospel story, and it's the story of the journey of the church. And I don't want to close down the Methodist Church or the Congregational Church or the Anglican Church and start again as if one could start again, because one can't. And we inherit a glorious tradition from the past. But now it has to draw in our stories, which are new stories. That's the Gospel Plus. The truth, the tradition, and the chat. And I want us to be rooted in a common identity, not as vicars and as reverends and as missioners and as pioneers, but simply as icons of Christ. People and communities to whom people look, and the Richard Dawkins of this world look and say, there is something winsome about this. Which of course he doesn't say. I don't know if he'd see it, but many might. And rooted in a way of life which is, as Henri Nouwen has called it, downward mobility. The downward mobility of Jesus Christ. And also rooted in each place. And I'm very aware, I was talking to Dave at the beginning, of the range of village and town and city and context where church is a little bit easier and where church is a little bit harder that we represent. To know that I am in that place. And to not have a church which keeps... Not to be surrounded by people that say to me, if only you did this, then it would be fine. But to know that in the village of Cumberton in Cambridgeshire, it's different to the village of Toft. That's 15 minutes worth. I'll just leave it hanging, shall I?
Great. Thanks, Adrian. What we'd like you to do now is to maybe get into groups of about 6 to talk about these two different things, because they both relate to this whole thing of free and inclusive. Both our cultures, because we can't pretend that actually our churches aren't rooted in our cultures. That has to be part of it. But also, what does it mean to be free and to be countercultural? And as churches, what does it mean to be both free and rooted? And how do those, you know, is there any relationship between those two things? So literally for probably about 15 minutes, we'd like you to just talk about those things that have struck you from the last half an hour and how that maybe relates to your situation. But what we'd like you to do out of that is to produce some kind of headlines that you'd like to produce as a group. Now, I'm not looking for one headline each group, because there's nothing worse than kind of, you know, you then spend all your time working out the specific wording so everyone is happy. We're going to be much more postmodern, so you can have lots of, as many headlines as you like. And then what we'd like you to do, there are 3 boards around here, and we would like you to write your headlines on those boards so that everyone else can read them as well and see what's being said. So, you've got probably about 15 minutes to chat together, come up with your headlines, write them on the boards, and then spend a bit of time looking at what other people are writing as well. And we will come back then all together at 5 to 12. We're going to have a bit of music and some visual things to look at, and then we're going to think about how does leadership fit into this whole thing. So, get talking and get thinking about your headlines.
Well done.
What did that sound like?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. No, that sounded very good.
So what you've been talking about.
So what you've been talking about, yeah.
Okay. So six word liners.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, no, that was good. Yeah, no, this is well, actually, so...